Welcome to another episode of the Financial Advisory Podcast. Today's guest, his name is Sam. We'll get into him in a moment. Before you saw me talking or heard me talking, and there's a song that played, and I want to go into that because this is our first episode filming since that song. I got permission to use that song. So Kerry King, as some of you may know, is a very good friend of mine, and he let me reach out through management and get approval to use that song for the podcast. So the opening riff, the riff in between takes or the ending or whatever, that's that song. So it's called Idle Hands by Kerry King. It's the first single from the new record. And what's cool about that is I've known about this project for fucking years, like literally years I've known about this project. And I couldn't tell anybody about it. Everybody knew I was friends with Kerry, so everybody knew I had inside information. Couldn't talk about it. So finally, when it gets announced to the world back in early February, I think, I got to actually like, hey guys, this is what I've been telling you guys about. You know, it's been pretty fucking cool. So for me, super honored to be able to, you know, plug the song and to, you know, get my friend's music out there. I'm fucking pumped. So Idle Hands by Kerry King, and then I'm sure we'll have another single here. New record comes out May 17th. And yeah, just want to plug that real quick. So anyhow, Sam, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Ace set this up as our producer. He knows you from the gym, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's
we have mutual friends.
Yeah, that's cool. So he's basically said, hey man, like, come on out. So I was like, in a spot where I was been super consumed with other stuff as far as booking guests and whatnot. So I'm like, Ace, help me out. Let's get a guest. He's like, I got a guy for you, man. This guy'll be cool. So So tell me a little about yourself.
Thanks for hyping me up.
Yeah, yeah. So before we go get into this, let's do a shot, man. Shout out to my sponsor, Telson Tequila. I'm going to pour my – I like the Añejo myself, and I'll pour you the Blanco. But
yeah, I'm more of a silver guy.
There you go. So this brand comes from Las Vegas. I found these guys with my buddy Kerry at a restaurant in Las Vegas.
Could you do like half of that?
I will. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And then –
I haven't eaten today, so yeah, I don't want to get like, right? I don't want to expose myself for being a lightweight, right? But
everybody gets hammered on the show. And, yeah. But we found this brand, and then I reached out to them. They sponsored me, so cheers, man.
Cool, cheers.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Yeah.
Smooth.
It's pretty good, right? See, everyone says that. Everyone's like, oh, that's like an inadvertent commercial every time we do it, because it is fucking good.
The weird thing is, I used to hate tequila.
Yeah.
But now I love it. And like, I hate other liquors I used to like.
Yeah.
But I'm not much of a drinker anymore, so it really doesn't matter.
Right, right. How old are you?
30. Yeah. I just turned 30.
I think when we get around 30, our palate changes for a lot of things. And alcohol is definitely one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, everyone loves the feeling of being drunk. I just can't handle the hangovers anymore, because as you get older, those hangovers are brutal.
I tell you, you get older, Ace is back. I'm fucking 20. What are you, 25?
Yeah, you're 24, no longer indestructible. Yeah,
which wait till you get to be my age, kid. Right. You know,
it's everything hits you all at once.
Yeah, fuck yeah. So on this podcast, man, we'd like to talk about, you know, it's called the Financial Advisory Podcast. We talk about money, how we made money, how we're making money, struggles we've had along the way to making money, man. So tell me a little bit about yourself, man. Like, you know, I see you got a big following. You're a power lifter like me. I love that. That's super fucking cool. But let's hear it, man. Tell us about yourself.
Like the money part, or no, do you just like, want to hear just up, general like, information?
Yeah, general, like, yeah, going in.
I was born in South Korea, and I was adopted at 8 months old by a family of little people, because I have dwarfism myself, achondroplasia.
Okay.
And so I'm, from the get-go, I've been blessed to be here, because living the life I'm living here is eons better than the life I would have lived out in Korea.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's a double blessing. Like, I'm very thankful that my birth parents gave me up, because they knew that they didn't have the right resources to raise me, and they didn't really know how to handle the situation, because they're average height, my birth parents are.
Okay.
So it was just a huge blessing for me to get adopted, and my parents, like the parents I've had my entire life, I love them to death, and they've done they've moved mountains for me, and every inch of success I have right now, every piece of it, I owe to them.
And they live here in Colorado?
Yeah, they live up in Fort Collins.
So when you were adopted, you moved to Fort Collins. You've been here your whole life?
Yeah, that's I don't remember any of that process, because I was only 8 months old.
Right, yeah. This is home for you, right? That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's wild, because a lot of people, as you know, from Colorado, they are import. A lot of people have moved here or transplants. Like myself, I moved from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
So you're born and raised. This is your hood. This is very rarely, and as I almost everyone I meet came from somewhere else. So you're born and raised in here. It's awesome, dude. That's super cool. And so you've seen like the growth and the change in your city, right?
It's
like,
bittersweet. Because, progress is progress. Everything needs to move forward. Yeah. But I think what the problem is with, like, especially in northern Colorado, is the size of the city, like the capacity of the city, is not meant for this amount of growth that it's experienced over the last, 10 years maybe.
And even before that, it was still growing, but now it's like, it's peaked up.
Like,
for sure.
it picked up heavy, and it's because, it's an amazing place to live. I love Colorado.
I agree.
With the amount of migration comes other issues. The scales get tipped.
Yeah. So, like, coming from Chicago, it's perspective. And you said something earlier that really made me think of this perspective, right? It's like, you said you're blessed and you're happy. And some people look at your situation and be like, oh, man, that must suck. And you're like, nah, man, this is great. Like, coming from Korea, right? Like, the perspective. So, for me, nothing nearly as severe as that, but like from Chicago, people bitch about the weather and the traffic here in Denver. I'm like, dude, Chicago weather and traffic sucks balls. Like, this is great here. I love it here.
Right.
And it's all perspective to whatever situation you're in. Is the perspective to what you've otherwise experienced.
Yeah. And it took me a while to develop that perspective because, life is tough. Like, even if you had a cushy from an early age, there are obstacles in life that you face it just makes it difficult. And it's easy to complain about what you're facing. But when you can kind of step outside of your own worldview and look at it as like a larger scale, like look at what other people have to deal with, look at what you have to deal with. And comparison's never a good thing because it's the thief of joy.
Yeah.
But it helps you kind of rein it in and feel appreciative for what you have because you might be having a bad day and you might have bad luck and things aren't going your way, but there's someone out there who has it way worse. And maybe they have a smile on their face appreciating the little things in life. Maybe the sun's shining on them or maybe they found a quarter on the ground, stuff like that. Yeah. So,
well, I've heard before too, someone smarter than me once said, like, dude, if you had a room full of people and everyone threw their problems in the middle of the room, you'd be rushing after your problem to get it back.
Yeah, like, I've heard that too.
Yeah, it's like, dude, you don't know what else someone else is going through. And like, perspective is huge because like, we could all bitch about whatever we got going on. Everyone's got problems and nobody cares. And it's harsh, but the sooner you realize that, okay, better off I am. Cool. Everyone's got problems. Nobody really cares. I'm good.
Definitely.
And you figure that shit out the earlier you do. And you're 30, dude. It took me after 30 to really realize that. Now, I'm 37. And I don't really know when it really triggered or when it really clicked, but it did. And I feel like I'm fortunate enough to get it as early as I did. Because some people live their whole life negative and bitching and moaning. And, and you're 30 and you've already got that figured out. That's great.
Yeah, I actually had it figured out like when I was probably 17. Because prior to 17, I was just kind of in a mental up and down with just my whole situation. I kind of felt like I was dealt the shorthand, literally. But I kind of just felt like
why me? What the fuck?
I was swimming against the current. And then like I was talking about earlier, I don't know if we were recording, but just having good people around you who support you and kind of help you work through these things.
Yeah,
that's what really helped me build my confidence. And then that's when I started gaining perspective. I feel like because of like that mental struggle I dealt with, I kind of matured pretty fast mentally.
Mm, yeah.
And I was able to kind of just wrap my head around the idea of having empathy and being able to step outside of my own, my own personal experiences.
Yeah.
And then apply it to myself to help myself grow spiritually, mentally.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, like I said, it's perspective of everybody. Cause I mean, there's people out there, you can say whatever you want about your situation. Like, well, you can walk. There's people who can't walk.
Right.
Like, there's always something you can. And I think Andrew Tate's very polarizing, right? But Andrew Tate once said a thing, and he says some good things. And Andrew, I don't want to get too, he's like Trump. You don't want to get too far down that path, right? But like, one thing Andrew Tate once said that I heard was like, dude, unless you can convince a terminally ill person to feel sorry for you, toughen it up. Because everyone in that position would love to be whatever problem you have.
Exactly.
It's like, it's all perspective. So like, if whatever bad day I'm having, it's almost like, man, how dare I feel sorry for myself, right?
Definitely.
Like, look at how many people got worse.
And on that note, what you just said, like, I think a lot of people do want someone to feel bad for them, have sympathy for them. And if you're in a situation where it is not going your way, the last thing you should do is look for people to feel sorry for you and pity you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, I mean, that might give you a brief dopamine hit because you're like, oh, people care about my situation. It's not going to change anything.
No, exactly.
And I think a lot of people fixate on that too much where they... I don't want to say they want the attention, but it's kind of like that. They want people to be like, everything's going to be like, to rally behind them, but they're not willing to make certain strides to make it better.
I'd rather have someone say, hey, no, fuck face. This, you get off your ass and do it. Like, don't tell me it's going to be all right.
Right. Like, what are you doing with your time right now? What can you be doing?
Yeah, don't tell me it's going to be fine, because I don't want to hear that. I want to hear what I got to do to fix it. That's it. But yeah, not everyone is wired that way, and therefore a lot of people are not successful because of it. And they let those little things turn into big things, and those big things delay their life, or they change their, you know, poor me, poor me. And I live around, I mean, I grew up around that shit. Like, I grew up around, you know, my parents, you know, bitching and moaning, and I thought that's how you acted. That's what people do, is they would complain. And I was like, it wasn't my parents who taught me to toughen up. It was, you know, life. So, like, perspective, the way you're raised is a big thing. And
definitely,
you've mentioned you had great people around you to help you with that. And that's huge, man, because that's such a my kids get that from me, right? Definitely. I've definitely corrected that on mine. But, like, if you don't have that, you know, and your parents don't teach you that, it's like, well, what are they teaching you? You're going to live the way they taught you. And sometimes it takes people, like, to break out of their own ecosystem. Like, oh, no, hang on. This is fucked. Let me reset this thing.
Right.
That's what I've done. It's like, hey, on. This and is fucked.
Honestly, realistically, this is how I view it. You need to experience bad times to truly appreciate good times. Mm-hmm. And now I don't want people to overthink that and think too deeply.
Correct. Yeah. But still.
If you've never struggled once in your life, then when you truly have something good, I feel like you don't have this the same appreciation as someone who's been on both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Life can't all be fucking hand jobs and unicorns. You know what I mean?
For some people it is. And like, if you talk to some of those people, they feel so they sound so disconnected from humanity. It's like they're a different, like, they're an alien almost. You talk to them and their reality is way different than ours.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think
so. It's good to have that perspective.
I love it. I always say, like, man, I really want my kids to grow up like me, but I don't want them to struggle like I did. It's like, man, how do you find that balance? As a parent, it's impossible, because you can't have struggle or success without struggle. And if it's just success, then it's not real success. It's just given to you.
Definitely.
So, like, I struggle with my kids all the time. Like,
you know, almost want to live, like, vicariously through them.
I want them to have it easier than I did, but I also don't want them to grow up to be little shitheads either. If they grow up to be shitheads, it's like, man, what did I do as a parent? You know?
Right.
Like, so it's tough, man. It's a tough balancing act to like appreciate the struggle, but know in the moment, like, hey, this is good for me. Because nobody thinks, when you're going through some shit, nobody thinks at the time, hey, fuck, this is great, I need this. Like, no, you hate it. You're like, fuck, this is bullshit, I don't want this right now. But only afterwards you appreciate, hey, man, this is actually good for me. And that time when, you know, when I had my kid, when I was a single dad at, you know, 23 years old with an infant and my son's mother goes off to rehab, that was good for me. You know, at the time, fucking did not feel like it.
No.
But later on, like, that was good for me. You know, that really hardened me up and taught me some lessons and created a bond with my son.
Once you gain distance from certain events, you look back on it and you see a way different, like, you see it as a growing moment. But it sucks when
you're in it.
When you're in it, it really does suck. I guess
that's a takeaway, right? If you're in the moment right now, and right now is that moment for you, like, it gets better. And you need that.
Definitely.
It's hard to understand that right now. Just trust us. We're older. We're old men. We're 30 plus. We're old men. And that's something, young kids over there, you'll get there one day.
What he just said is something to live by. Like, if you're going through it, truly do not give up. I know a lot of people say that just to try to be inspirational. But, I mean, it can get better. If you're at rock bottom and you feel like you are, the only place you could go is up. There's no point in just staying there. Make little strides. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how significant they are.
Yeah.
You can work your way to the top.
Yeah.
Well, not to the top, but you can work your way out of these.
Okay, you could. You can definitely get out of where you're at.
Yeah.
And the top is relative to where, I mean, if you're at rock bottom, the top ain't that far away. You know what I mean? Like, but better when you're at the top. But yeah, it's all perspective.
Yeah, actually, a story about that is in my early 20s, actually, this started happening, like, right out of high school when I was, like, 19. I started making poor choice after poor choice, and I was really aimless in life. And, you know, like, I fell in love with just fast moments, good times, and it kind of drove me into a really dark place into my early 20s. And I did hit rock bottom, and I felt like, for a second, I didn't really do much to try to change it because I was hoping for someone to come save me or something to just fall into my lap. But when you're there, you realize no one's coming to save you.
What's up, guys? I know you're enjoying the podcast, but I want to pause this. I want to bring some attention to my sponsors, Telson Tequila. I want to go over a few cool little facts with these guys. So they are from Las Vegas, and There's thousands of tequilas in the world. Tellson is one out of only 40 tequila brands that owns their own distillery. So it's super unique. It's a big flex, right? It's really fucking cool. So based out of Las Vegas, super rad. Check them out. Use our discount code FINAD20, TellsonTequila.com.
No one's coming to pull you out of that. No one's going to make the decisions you need to make in order to fix it. So fast forward to now, I mean, I didn't always have it good, but I'm thankful for those times. Like he was talking about, like when you're dealing with it, it sucks.
Yeah. Fuck.
But looking back on it, it definitely helped me mature in certain ways that I needed to.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like I said, when you're in it, it sucks. You can't see it. When you're out of it, you're like, man, thank God I went through that. Because now the next time that situation comes up, I got that covered.
Exactly.
I'm not going to fall for that trap again. I know. Also, there are people who do make the same fuck up all the time. And it's like those people, all right, dude, you got to recognize that you're going down the same fucking path all the time.
Yeah.
Those people are different. But for people like me and yourself, like you come across these paths, okay, that was a kick in the dick. That sucked. Let's not do that again because getting kicked in the dick sucks. Let's not do that, right? So like, but if you can learn from that, it's easy. It's all it is. You're never really losing. You're just learning.
Right. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say it's easy because it's easier for some than others. Like, yeah, we've been through it. We did it. But I know some people who do go through those vicious cycles. And I mean, I kind of do feel bad for them. But I know how hard it is where their mental state is and the situation they're in and why they keep kind of falling into old habits and old patterns.
It's the environment.
Like, you can't hop into their head and be like, oh, this is – like, just change. Yeah. You can't change how they're wired.
Again, somebody else smarter than me, I don't know if it was Alex Hormozi or some influencer, referenced a story, and it was heroin addicts in Vietnam War. Okay? A bunch of soldiers got hooked on heroin in Vietnam. When they came home, they weren't hooked on heroin, right? So if you change your environment, you're much more likely to succeed of getting out of whatever habit you're in.
Definitely.
It's when you're in the same environment, hard to change your habit. So if you're in an environment where it's toxic-free, whether it's a relationship, whether it's where you live or whatever it is, your friend circle could be shitheads, like change that environment and you're much more likely to get out of it.
Right.
If you're still in the same environment, whether it may be fast food and you can't stop getting fat or stop going to the restaurant or stop driving down that street to pass up McDonald's or whatever it is, changing your environment will change your situation much faster than just trying 100%. To change.
Yeah. But and people, I think it's comfort's the killer there.
And people can't recognize it or they don't recognize it. Hey, my environment's what's fucking me.
Right.
And it could be your family. It could be your mom and your dad. And then people are so...
And that's tough, though.
It is.
Like, if it is a family member or someone you loved or a significant other, like a toxic relationship, it is tough to really deroot that and look at it like that because you want to believe that you can alter things that you're doing in order to make it work. You want to make it work so bad, but when you realize after attempt and it's not working that the only thing to do is remove yourself, it's tough to do that.
It's extremely hard. And I learned that at an early age. And not that my family's shitheads, right? There's some shitheads in my family, but they're not overwhelmingly shitheads. But what I remember telling myself was like, I'm not going to use his name, but we had one person in our family who was a complete piece of shit. And I was like, everyone's like, oh, well, he's this. And I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, every person who's a piece of shit is a family member to somebody. So just because they're a family member to somebody doesn't mean they're not a piece of shit. So I'm like, when I recognize that correlation, I'm like, oh, that's just this guy in our family. He's a pile of shit. He happens to be part of our family. Like, so when you recognize that and you can remove that person from your family or from yourself, it's like, all right, we're good. But like so many people, oh, well, he's family. Who gives a fuck? He's a bag of balls. You know, I don't give a shit, you know? So anyhow, it's cool that we have the same mindset on that because mindset's everything, you know?
Definitely.
And going into mindset, I see you powerlift. So powerlift.
Okay.
You know, the weight you're lifting is powerlifting.
We'll upset the powerlifting community because I've never done a meet, so I'm not a powerlifter.
Same though. I've never have either. I did one when I was like 18.
I mean, I definitely trained.
Lift heavy as fuck.
I try to, you know.
But what I was getting at is mindset. Sometimes you got to go a dark spot to lift the kind of weight you're lifting. And so like, do you listen to music? Do you like... What drives you to lift that heavy and how do you go there?
Well, for me, it's just fun.
It is fun.
Like I'm not one of those people fighting demons in the gym. Mm. I just do it because it's really fun to do.
Okay.
And I like to just push past my limits.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy what the human body is capable of and I want to see within a healthy context how
healthy is
what
though.
I'm able to do. Because like the most important thing is training properly, training safely, understanding how your body's reacting to certain things. Mm. You got to prioritize your recovery because it's all about longevity in the end.
I was going to say, I want to live forever. So if I'm going to try to do that, I can't be doing things that hurt me, right? So right. That includes drugs. So there's a lot of people in this industry that just want to do a lot of drugs to get a lot of heavier and a lot stronger. It's like, man, what's the goal here, right? So like you're trying to look good, trying to live longer. There's different goals. And some people, I think, get it twisted to where like, well, if I could lift more weight and I'm taking these drugs, that's healthy. That's not healthy sometimes.
And I would say, here's the thing. I don't judge if someone does PEDs.
Correct.
If they have a goal in mind, if they're a competitive bodybuilder, I'm all for it because that's what it takes to get to that level. Right. But if you just started out in the gym or if you're only doing it for vanity reasons, there's no point.
It's silly. Or if you're fucking Barry Bonds and you're making millions of dollars because you're hitting home runs, do it. Like I'm all about it. If there's a reason for it and you're actually monetizing it, I'd say go for it.
Let's put an asterisk by that.
Oh, like Barry Bonds.
Go for it in the most safe, like mature manner. Because like there could be a 17-year-old raking in six figures a year via the fitness industry. I'm not encouraging that 17-year-old to hop on steroids to boost his capital or whatever it may do because you're 17. You're still a kid. Just enjoy it.
I'm not encouraging that. I'm going to agree, disagree.
Devil's advocate,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. And you're right. If you're 17, one, I mean, you're probably not. Maybe you are. I guess I don't know the whole world. But, like, yeah, it's not safe. Look at the safety of it. I was mostly joking, like baseball players. They were – like, to me, that makes sense. If your baseball contract is based on how many home runs you can hit and you have a way to do that, I'm all about it. That makes sense. But if you're this guy in the gym who wants to look good but at a detriment to your health, like, man, what are you doing, right? So right. It's tough. It's tough to –
got to look at the cost-benefit analysis.
And to me, if it's billions and millions of dollars and you're set for life, then you can then get off steroids and live a healthy life beyond that, do it, right? But some people get hooked in that trap of
– I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to do what they want to do, and that's why – actually, this is kind of a tangent, but I don't get the whole with like the social media, the fitness industry in specific. So basically, like, you know, fake natties, obviously a bad thing because people say it sets false expectations for natural potential.
Yep.
Here's my problem with that. In the first place, that expectation should not exist. You should never look at someone else's physique thinking that you'll achieve it. Doesn't matter if they're natural or not.
Yeah.
You are your own person. All of our genetics are wired way differently. It's so complex.
Yeah.
And that's why I've never gotten that reasoning. Like, obviously, these fake natties should be called out because lying is just stupid.
I agree.
But
especially when you're monetizing it.
If you're young, never compare yourself to anybody but yourself. Like, it will be the biggest downfall you've ever faced.
Yeah, but I would say this. Like, when I was young, I'm talking like early, mid-20s. And I was getting pretty big in the gym, and I was really strong. I mean, I am strong, but like in the 20s, mid-20s, I met my buddy Joe, and we started going heavy, and everybody accused me of being on steroids. And I'm like, no, but thanks for asking. But then I realized like there were some guys that I looked up to at the gym, and I was like, I can be that big. I can grow towards that. Then you realize, no, those guys are on steroids. That's why they're accusing you of being on steroids. Like that expectation is like, holy fuck. So that's a reality that I think awareness could help out with, like, man, almost everybody at the gym is on steroids, which is a weird thing to say. But like when you look at, especially men over 30, 35, and they're that big and lean still, it's like they're on something. For people to understand that, the guys in their 20s don't get it because they can actually naturally achieve that sometimes. But then you look at beyond that, it's like, oh, that guy to still be that old and that lean, like he's on something. When you realize that, for someone who's not doing those things, it's hard to understand it. But when you see someone, okay, that's what they're doing. That makes more sense. Now I don't have to chase that dream because it's never going to happen unless I want to do those things to get there.
And I can agree with that. You got to have a sense of reality as well. Mm-hmm. But I mean,
awareness, you know,
at the end of the day, like my whole point was just the whole comparison aspect will just be your downfall.
It will be.
It really doesn't matter because I know natural guys who look way better than majority of the people on steroids in this town. Yeah, because like you said, a lot of people are on steroids. I could probably point them out at the public gyms I go to.
Yeah.
And they do not look good.
Right.
They may be big, they may be strong, but they do not look good.
Right. It all depends on what they're after.
And if that's what makes you happy is looking like a hot dog, you know, with like looking like your blood pressure is like 200 like over 100.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Hot dog. I like that. Like a hot dog.
Like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, like fucking.
That was a quote from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the skin of a hot dog.
Yeah, like fried bologna. So let's talk about your fitness, because you are in the fitness industry, you have a lot of followers on social media. That's awesome.
Which doesn't matter. Followers don't mean anything.
Hold on. It kind of does.
Well, I'm telling that to the audience because a lot of these kids fixate on that, thinking that it's a life-changing event
when you gain
following.
Correct. Well, I would say that. I would agree with that. It's not life-changing. But if you want people to buy into what you're selling, or if you want them to reach out to you, they look at the amount of followers you have. It didn't happen on accident. So what have you done to get there? Like, did you set out to do that? Was it an accident? What's that like?
Oh, it was like during COVID. I was already lifting during COVID, and I had an Instagram kind of set up with a few cringy gym pics.
Yeah. But, we all have that.
Sparked it was, I was watching like old David Laid montages, and I was like, you know what? Like, we're all locked in. I have a few weights at home. Like, I wonder if I could do this. So I started recording on my phone and, you know, doing like trying to edit some cool stuff. It was really choppy at first. Yeah, then, nothing really happened for a while. Like, my following kind of went up and then went down, up and down.
Yeah.
But what really changed everything is I kind of blew up on TikTok first.
Okay.
TikTok's a little different now, but it used to be like the viral place. Like,
yeah.
It was really easy to blow up on TikTok, and it could feed into your Instagram. TikTok really changed lives, and I don't get why they're trying to ban it right now, but that's a different discussion.
It is, yeah.
They
think it's Chinese intelligence they're trying to, it's like, it's not. It's just a fucking another.
Yeah, if that's what they're worried about, everything that.
Well, they're wrong. What it is that the lobbyists of, and I'm going down this rabbit hole, but like, Facebook and Instagram are going saying,
shares,
"Hey, there's the Chinese. Get after them."
The control of information, because it's all raw and filtered through TikTok.
So they're just basically getting their ass kicked. They're getting eaten for lunch. Now they're going to Congress screaming and crying, "Oh, fucking help me!" It's like, no, dude, you're getting your ass kicked. Figure it out. And Instagram kind of has. They have Reels now, and that came from getting their ass kicked by TikTok. They adapted. They're kind of. Fine. They're doing fine. Everyone's fine.
See, Instagram.
There's room for.
I feel
everybody.
Like they could have totally done it like mutually. They could have grown together, but Instagram constantly changes its algorithm.
Yeah,
and does little tweaks left and right, which makes people upset, because it's like, do I post pictures or do I post reels? Like, what do I do? Like, how
I
do
just post whatever I want and fuck them.
See, yeah,
that's what I try
to actually root back to like my whole upcoming.
Yeah,
when I really started having fun with it is when I stopped caring so much.
See.
Yeah. About like the validation and everything. Like, when I just posted what I wanted to post and I didn't care about how many likes I would get from that or how much attention it would get. And when I kept that attitude for a while, it started booming.
Well, the universe, I think, knows when you're trying and when you're not trying. When you're being authentic, when you're not being authentic.
Yeah, you set yourself up for less disappointment.
Yeah. When you're being authentic, people notice.
It's a win-win for you, yeah.
Yeah, when people are trying, it's like, dude, what are you dyeing your hair for, dude? You're going great. Let it go. You know, or whatever it is, right? When you're trying to do something, you're like, oh, come on, quit trying. That's gay. But when you're not trying, it's, oh, that's cool. You know, it's weird. People are like that, though. So people in Hollywood are always worried, oh, this person got breast implants. It's like, who gives a fuck? Remember, that was a big thing 10, 20 years ago. Like, does it got real? Or because people are trying. The act of trying was like, that's not cool. You know, so like on Instagram and TikTok, same thing. And people are trying to do something. It's very apparent. And they don't like that.
Right.
The humans don't like that for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, with what you just said, like, why would you care about what other people are doing with their own bodies?
People do.
I know people do. It's like, how? I just don't understand it. Like, you must be miserable as hell.
Dude, so many people
are. If someone gets breast implants or does something to their body, augments their body, and somehow it's affecting you indirectly, and it's polluting your days.
Right.
Like, your life must be sad.
Must be dog shit. Must be trailer park trash. Yeah. I don't know. That's why I see it. But honestly, if you look at the numbers of people, where does the majority of people live? They live in that middle ground that hate their lives, or they bitch and moan. That's the majority of people. We're not in the majority, even though we, you know, like to think we are, but the majority of people are negative. They bitch and moan. They care about what the fucking neighbors are doing. That's the majority of people. So that's the people who feed into all that bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Which is sad.
I mean, I don't know if it's the majority or not, because there's a lot of people with grinder mindsets out there. There's a lot of people in the world.
I agree that there's a lot, but I think because we're in that world, we see that.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think there's that many people like us. I really don't.
Yeah. It's more like, I mean, I only agree to disagree because I don't like to generalize like that and umbrella people into a category.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
Like, I don't feel like I'm a rare species. I don't feel like I have a rare mindset. Like, I just kind of I don't know.
I didn't think so either for a long time. And I used to think that everyone can do what I'm doing. And I realized, like, I am a little special. I do have a different mindset. So don't cut yourself short. You're very, you are different. You are very, that was not a, stop it. He did that, not me. What I'm getting at is, like, we are special. We are in an upper tier of our attitude, of our mindset, of giving a shit, right? That's not as common. We live in that world. We surround ourselves with people like that. So what's up, guys? I'm sure you're enjoying the podcast. It's fucking awesome. I know. Okay. But let's talk about one of my sponsors, Alpine Moving Company. So we all know that moving sucks. Okay. Stop asking your buddies to fucking move you. It's always a problem. We know that. Be an adult. So use Alpine Moving Company. They know how to get the shit done. They offer residential and commercial moving. Also, they will move you anywhere within North America, anywhere in the lower 48, Canada, Mexico, and they're going to hook you up with 10% off. So discount code MOVE24. Make the right move. We think it's more common, but man, it's not. It's like when you're in the car community. And I have a Lamborghini, and all my friends have nice cars, and they all get the nice car. And the next guy gets the newer one. It's like, oh man, my Lamborghini's shit, right? And I drive home, and I don't see another fucking Lamborghini for the whole hour drive home. And everyone who sees my car is like, holy shit, this badass car. When I'm in that group of the guy with the brand new Ferrari, it's like, oh man, your car is like third tier. When I leave that group and go where everyone else is at, like, holy fuck, it's a Lamborghini. Same with our mindset, I believe, is that we're in that group with everybody. We feel like, hey, we're just one of the guys. Then you leave, and it's like, hey, man, most of the world hates their life, hates their job, hates, you know, and it's negative mindset. And I think we're actually doing better than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you came from, like, with that. For me, I feel like I'm just a little different than that because over the past couple years, like, I haven't had a 9-to-5 in the last 2 years. I've made, like, not to flex, I've made decent money doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I still drive a 2002 Outback. That was my first car I ever bought.
Really?
Taking care of it. She's taking care of me. And, like, I could have gotten a new car, like, countless times. Right, but I just, I don't know. Like, I don't really, I'm not into, like, materialistic things, flashing my status. Like, because I don't even feel like my status has changed. I'm still who I am. I'm not going to let things change me.
Yeah.
And, like, how you were talking about surrounding yourself with people who have the same winner mindset. Like, I just surround myself with people I like. If they don't have a winner mindset, I hope that I rub off on them, but I'm not going to tell them to change. I hope that maybe if they see something I'm doing, I inspire them.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's huge. So back to your, I guess, your day job, like, what do you do for money? How do you earn an income right now?
I'm sponsored by a couple companies, fitness brands, and I make money through them.
Hell yeah.
And then I make money through TikTok for the time being until who knows what happens. They might get banned and then whatever. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well,
graduating from CSU in May. So I've been pursuing my degree in nutrition and fitness and nutrition focus. So I kind of have this whole fitness thing has been my side hustle. It's not my end all be all.
Okay. That's awesome. So with the sponsorship deals, like, how does that happen? Do they reach out to you?
Yeah.
Really? They say, hey man, we love what you're doing. Would you love to represent our brand?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, really, like, if we want to get down to brass tacks, if they see an opportunity for mutual gains, then they'll reach out to you.
That's awesome. And then what was the first one like? You're doing this stuff for fun. All of a sudden you get a DM, I assume. You're like, fuck, this is actually cool. How'd that happen?
It was actually Young LA. I've been with them for 3 years, and it was it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like everyone wanted to be with Young LA. And I didn't, like, if you check out my page, you see what I look like. I'm 4'5" and Asian. Like, I didn't think it was possible, to be honest. Like, I didn't think, like, anyone like me could ever get sponsored by a brand like Young LA that was kind of, like, the whole aesthetic brand, you know? Like, they wanted, like, model-esque people on there. Okay. But, yeah, it happened. It kind of blew my mind.
That's fucking cool, man. So you're like, all right, this actually might do something.
Yeah, now. They gave me a shot, and it's paid off since.
And then, so from there, I'd imagine that expanded your brand and your awareness. Other people started seeing you, how that went?
Kind of. I mean, the thing with these sponsorships is when you get them, it doesn't just instantly change your life. You still got to put work into it. It's not like a golden ticket to success.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Like, so it started out slow. And then once, like, my following and, like, just kind of my influence, like, I don't call myself an influencer because I hate that term.
Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to influence anyone to do anything. I don't, like, I don't even really like to push my code that much because I don't want to convince people to spend their money just to support me. Like, if you genuinely like the clothes, buy them. And yeah, if you want a discount, you can use my code and support me. Or you could use the millions of other codes out there and support whoever you want.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because just kind of grinding and growth and just connecting with people, to be honest, like, that's the biggest thing. It's not about the amount of followers you have. It's about the organic following you have, like,
yeah,
the actual connection you have with these people. And because of that, yeah, like, other brands have reached out to me. I've worked with a few supplement brands. I don't really like working with supplement brands just because I don't see supplements as a necessity. They do help, but I feel like if you're on a budget, you can spend your money on better things.
That's true. I think supplements, I think people have this misconception that the results you can get from steroids, you can get from supplements, and you can't. And the results you can get from clean eating, you can get without using supplements. People have that backwards, like, oh, I got to have – no, man, you can do pretty well just a diet alone. You really need to go really hard and really into it to need supplements. You don't really need – you can do very well without them. Really.
Definitely.
Supplement just means that you're not getting enough nutrition. That's all it is.
Right.
And in nutrition, you can curb a lot of your need for supplements. But at the same time, though, supplements, people like that. People like the – easy button, so to speak, right? They like the fact that you really think that they're doing, but it's a mental thing sometimes too.
Yeah.
Placebo effect. So,
I mean, I still use supplements.
Yeah.
Like,
of course.
I use pre-workout all the time because it does help me push harder.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. Like, the days I forget my pre-workout, it's not the end of my day.
I'd rather forget my pre-workout than my headphones.
Same.
Yeah. I could do
depending
just fine
on who the DJ is, because, like, I've been going to Crunch Fitness and sometimes the DJ is killing it. Sometimes,
okay,
you know.
Okay. I like heavy metal music. Nobody likes heavy metal music. So, like, if I walk in somewhere and they're not playing my music at all, they're not even playing anything I can get down to. So, it's like, I would rather just go back home. I'd rather, if they had headphones for sale, I'd buy them versus trying to work out. Now, pre-workout, meh, you forget, cool. You get a blood flowing, you're fine, you know. But, yeah, I agree with that. But headphones, nah, I got to have my shit. Or like, place like Revolution where the I can say, hey, man, put some Slayer on or something. You know, like, actually listen to me. But, So, yeah, as far as, like, the powerlifting and the bodybuilding, like, what got you into it? To be beyond, like, I'm sure you were just working out and that's fine, but you got to a different level. What triggered that? How'd you get there?
The lifting in general, what got me into that is I just needed a healthy outlet.
Okay.
Like I was saying earlier, that I was making poor choices, and at my rock bottom, a lot of things were wrong. Like, I had really high blood pressure, hypertension.
Okay.
And, yeah, like, I just didn't want to take blood pressure medication because, who, like, if you can fix something without getting prescribed something,
that's
do
huge,
it, because
yeah,
you don't want to be real, like, you don't want to have a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think this will be a small tangent. We're not going to get too into this, but I think the whole pharmaceutical
companies
and all that stuff, I think it's a bunch of horse. And I think that they're not here to help us. They're here to make us reliant. So that's why 100%. If you can avoid taking medication, do it.
Yeah, and if you need something, you need it. But make sure you need it. What you just said was absolutely, I live by that, is I don't take shit unless I've done everything else I can to mitigate
right
it. And sometimes you just need to. Sometimes people are born with high blood pressure, and I've seen doctors on this, like, hey, dude, you can do whatever you want, and you can vary it degrees, but if you're over here, you're over here. Take some meds. But if it's because you're overweight and you have a dog shit diet, and you don't work out, it's like, okay, maybe try those things first before you're stuck on these blood pressure medicines the rest of your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, like, I wasn't overweight. I did have a bad diet, and I actually used to smoke cigarettes too, which all that combined.
Fuck. So what were your numbers at, and how long did you get, like, the next time you saw your doctor, doctor's like, oh, dude, you're fucking doing good, right? There had to be a gap there, right?
It was like, the reading that was kind of alarming was like, it was like 145 over like 90.
Okay.
And I was just like, whoa, is that bad? And the nurse was like, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah. Hey, fucker.
She was like, you probably have hypertension. And she gave me meds. But before I even took them, I looked at the bottle and then I researched what the meds do. And it's crazy, the list of adverse side effects. I was like, no, I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So I just started walking on the treadmill at first, walking outside.
Really?
It took a while to get into kind of a pattern of doing that. And then that's when the weights came next. Because I was like, oh, like, I've got, like, walking down, like, my cardio is getting better. I kind of want to get stronger now, and I kind of just want to see what happens, you know? Like, I want to just kind of build a build a physique, see what I can do.
Did you have anybody around you that was already doing that, or was it kind of like on your own?
Me and my brother, we used to lift like back in like high school. It was nothing serious though.
Yeah.
Like nothing serious whatsoever. Maybe like a couple sets of bench press and then that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here, man. I didn't have anybody around me. I went on a high school trip to Italy when I was 17. And it was one of those things where it's called, at the time it was called World Travelers. And you would like, every 3 years they would go somewhere. And for those 3 years, you'd work the lunch line, you'd work fundraisers, you'd work the basketball game, selling tickets and all this shit. And you would just kind of like chip away at the cost. You're basically earning credits towards the cost of your trip. Because my parents didn't have the money for that. But I was like, if there's a way I could work this off over 3 years, I'll go to fucking Italy. That sounds badass, right? So I go there and I saw a guy there. And I was like chubby in high school. I was never fat. I was chubby. I was athletic, but I was chubby. And there's a guy there that on this trip, he was from Florida. I forget what his name was, but he had lost a lot of weight and now he was in shape. I'm like, dude, how'd you do that? He goes, I started working out. He was like 17. I was like, fuck, okay, cool, you know? So from that point on, I've always been working out. And then something triggered me, but I had no one around me that did. I just, something got me going and I'm gonna keep going. And then, it's amazing what will trigger someone to want to change their lifestyle, or they'll see someone or they've just had enough. Had enough, right? When you had the doctor visit, the blood pressure, that was your enough moment, right? You're like, I had enough. And then for me, it was like, I saw someone that looked better. And I'm like, well, what'd you do, man? He's like, well, I just fucking started working out. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I just started working. I learned it along the way. Just, you know, when I first started working out at the YMCA in Plano, Illinois, and I was like doing every body part every day and not knowing that you're supposed to take rest days and supposed to take, you know, days off and train different things. And one guy comes out to me after about a month of this. He's like, hey, dude, I see that you're doing the same shit every day. You should be taking rest days. I'm like, oh, so I started doing that and started just changing it up. And it's kind of fun how we all learn how this works, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So did you have anybody, like, once you got to a certain level, start coaching or changing? Like, how did you learn, like, the important
stuff? Just trial and error. Yeah. And YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube's a university.
And started reading, you know, studies, clinical trials, all the stuff.
Yeah.
I got really into the science behind it. Like, I'm really into exercise physiology.
Okay.
And that's actually what kind of spurred me to go back to college and get a degree in nutrition, because there's just so many pieces to the puzzle, and nutrition is one of the biggest ones.
It is. That's where I have the hardest time, because I go really hard. I live very heavy. I'm very consistent. But my diet's always fucked off because of how busy I am as a entrepreneur, I'm always busy. So my diet's always like the third most important, fifth, whatever. It's always down the line. It's like, whatever I can put my body, I'll be fine. You know, and I learned that's such a fucking, I've gotten better over the years, but I know how important that is. I've just never dialed that in. That's why I don't have abs. I can lift 500 pounds, but I'll never have abs. And I'm fine with that for the most part. I mean, before we let you go, like, what else did you want to, is there anything else you wanted to touch on, or like any words of encouragement to people that, you know, might be in a spot you used to be in?
Yeah, sure. Words of encouragement are, if you have a dream, chase after it no matter what. And as long as that dream doesn't affect other people's life negatively, which most dreams don't, but if your dream is kind of outlandish and it will impact other people's lives negatively, then whatever. But for the most part, if you have a dream, don't give up on it. Embrace it and manifest it. And I know that's such a cliche because all these motivational speakers will say that, but I mean, I feel like I'm living proof of achieving something I didn't think was achievable. So if I can do it, so can you guys.
Yeah, I like that, because like sometimes we get to a spot where like, man, you know, I'm not special. It's like, man, you are. What you've done is pretty cool. And people need to look at someone and do that. And it doesn't mean they have to like copy you, but they have to like, hey, if he did, I could do it. And that's such a good message to get out, because some people are so caught in their own head or in their own way. They're so demoralized by whatever it can be. And sometimes it just takes someone to look at like, hey, dude, that guy did it. Maybe I can do that, you know?
Yeah, that's why I like. On that note, that's like the main takeaway of my socials. Like, I hope when people see that, like, obviously there's a ton of like negative comments too and whatever, you know, people will always try to throw rocks at you, but I hope the main takeaway, if people ever come across my pages, is that if you see me doing this, you can absolutely do this.
So that being said, where can people follow you and on what platforms?
I mean, no one has to follow me, but I'm on TikTok. I'm Strong Smurf with two F's at the end on TikTok. And then I'm Original Little Sam on Instagram.
Hell yeah. We'll give him a follow if you want to. Not telling you if you want to, but it'd be cool to. And then, yeah, man, thanks for joining us. It's a great episode. Thanks
for having me.
Yeah, man. Cool. Thanks.